You are a tree. And as a tree bears fruit, so we are to bear the fruit of the Spirit. In fact, the Bible tells us that if we do not bear fruit, there are serious consequences. John the Baptist said, "And even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." We discover who is a false prophet by examining its fruit, even as we will examine the fruit of a tree to know what kind of tree it is. And so there are trees of all sort and there are people of all sort, and some people are false prophets. This is why Jesus warned, "Beware of false prophets. You will know them by their fruits." Psalm 1 uses the analogy of a tree to show what our lives ought to be. And so to show that we are, in a sense, a tree. He begins by saying, "Blessed is the man." And then, "That man is blessed because his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water." In Daniel chapter 4, King Nebuchadnezzar is likened to, again, a tree. So we are trees. We talk about us being sheep and needing shepherds. Well, as I've already shown you, the Bible also looks at us as being trees. Life with trees. Who is not impressed with trees? In fact, why is it that many people move to Grants Pass? Why is it the people who retire come to Grants Pass? It's because of the grass. No, I've never heard anyone say, "We just love the way the grass grows in Grants Pass." Or maybe someone says, "Well, it's the climate." I mean, that's what it says downtown. Well, I don't know about that. How about people say, "Well, you know what? I just like the rain. I want 33 inches a year of rain, and Grants Pass has got it." No, most people that I have met have come here because they like trees. They get a view like this of Grants Pass, and they say, "Man, I like it there. That's where I want to go." Life with trees. Starting at the beginning of the Bible, you do not have to read very far until you get to the 11th and 12th verses until you learn who put trees here. Moses wrote, "Then God said, let the earth bring forth the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good." No wonder trees fascinate and seduce us. The God of heaven, who makes everything beautiful, created them. In fact, Solomon said something about God's creation that I've always been so impressed with, this short and simple statement. When he said in the book of Ecclesiastes, "He has made everything beautiful in its time." When I was reading Psalm 111, I came across a couple of verses there that I thought, oh, well, what he's saying there could be said about trees. So what I want to give to you is an adaptation of Psalm 111, verses 2 through 4. Every time the word "work" or "works" appears, I'm going to put the word "tree" or "trees" and watch then what it says. "The trees of the Lord are great, studied by all who have pleasure in them. His trees are honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endures forever. He has made his wonderful trees to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion." Again, in that passage, the writer was speaking about God's work or works, and that would include everything, And so we can pick one of those works and make the application that we see here. Once Moses was done showing us the creation in Genesis chapter 1, he went back and showed the creation of man in chapter 2. And after showing God putting Adam in the Garden of Eden, Moses wanted us to understand what was in the garden. And we know there were other things in the garden. But there was one thing in particular that he wanted us to see. And so here's what he wrote. "And out of the ground the Lord made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." Well, you know that there were grasses and flowers and bushes and animals and streams and who knows what else. But he didn't mention those things. Instead, here he mentions trees. Every tree pleasant to the sight. And then he zeroes in on two trees in particular. The tree of life. And then there's that other tree. Trees are good. But sometimes people make more out of trees than what they really are. Man does not live by trees alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Therefore, while trees are good, they are still of the earth. Which means that in the end, they shall be burned up. The only things that are on this earth now that shall last forever are the Word of God and the church. So we can admire God's creation in trees, but our greatest admiration should be for His Word and for the church, the things that shall always last and shall end up in heaven. Since you are a tree, learn from trees. In fact, Jesus came right out and told us in the Bible that we need to learn from trees, and he picked the fig tree, such as is pictured above right now. They were to learn something from the fig tree. And you know, in December, my plan is, Lord willing, the first Sunday in December to start preaching through John. Oh, John is filled with this sort of thing. Jesus takes things of this earth and makes a spiritual application out of them. So we can certainly look at trees and learn something. There in Matthew 24, he said, "Now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see all these things," and he was talking about the destruction of Jerusalem, "know that it is near at the door." So think on what Jesus did. He took the objects of earth to make us think of the will of heaven. When you see trees, every once in a while, think about a spiritual application, or maybe, why did God give us trees? What does He want me to be thinking? In fact, I think we can argue from the Scriptures that Jesus is frustrated, or He was frustrated, when people that He was trying to teach were locked into earthly thinking only. And He was trying to get them to see things in the Spirit. So, let's eat the fruit of wisdom that grows on God's trees. Number one, reach for the sky. Reach for the sky in your purpose for life. You know, I see so many people in life whose only purpose is to just, you know, get a welfare check or something of that nature, and they don't realize there must be something greater for why I'm here on this earth. Hey, if you need a welfare check, you need a welfare check. I'm not speaking against that. But we need to understand that my life is more than that. My life is more than spending all day, every day watching TV. God put me here for a reason. Reach for the sky that we might be lifted from the earth and reach into heaven. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 14, "I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." That's what God wants us to be doing. Yes, we have to be concerned with the things we do on the earth. Let's get those things taken care of and then do it so we can focus our attention on that upward call. Secondly, plant your roots downward so that you can bear fruit upward. In fact, this here was told to Israel, or Judah, and the remnant who have escaped of the house of Judah shall again take root downward and bear fruit upward. And God wants us to do the same thing. I'll be showing you that later. I've already shown you that we should be bearing the fruit of the Spirit. How do we bear the fruit of the Spirit? Well, later I'll show you what we ought to be rooted in. In fact, I'll do that right now. In Ephesians 3:17, Paul said that we need to be rooted, since we're trees, and grounded in love. In Colossians 2:7, he says that we're to be rooted in Him, that is, in the Lord. So if I'm rooted in Him and I'm rooted in love, I'm going to bear the fruit of the Spirit. And He's not going to take that axe and cut me down, as John the Baptist indicated. Accept your place. You know, that's what a tree has to do. It's been planted. So it has to accept that. It may not be right next to the road. It may not want to be right next to the forest either. But it has to accept where it is planted. And so in the same way, Paul said in Philippians 4:11, I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. Drink water, the water of God's Word. That's Upper Klamath Lake, by the way. Drink the water of God's Word. Again, going back to Psalm 1, speaking about the blessed man, that his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And here's why that's significant. That brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Remember your roots. This is what Paul told Timothy when he said these words. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. Remember your roots, Timothy. And Peter, as he gives what we call the Christian graces in 2 Peter chapter 1, he listed, seven or eight of them, I can't remember right now, but then he says that he who lacks these things, such as faith, virtue, knowledge, and so on, is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. So sometimes remembering my past might be to remember the wickedness from which the Lord has redeemed me. And then I can realize just how far I have come by the Lord's grace. As a tree, I have to work with those who are around me. You know, that's what a tree does. It's planted, it has to accept its place, and hey, there's other trees, bushes, you know, who knows what may be nearby. The tree has to work with those that are around it. And so the Lord wants us to do the same thing. He says that we should grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together. We're just not joined to Him, we're joined and knit to each other. By what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. You are unique. Of course, we all know just how many different trees there are. And every tree is not the same. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, "For in fact, the body is not one member, but many." We could say, "The forest is not one tree, but many, and many different kinds." If the foot should say, "Because I am not a hand, I am not of the body," is it therefore not of the body? And the eye cannot say to the hand, "I have no need of you," nor again the head to the feet, "I have no need of you." If everyone was a fir tree, you know, where would be the redwood? If everyone was a banana tree, where would the apple tree be? We need the variety that's in the church. We need the variety that's in life. Withstand the elements. I have been wanting to show you this picture for a long time. This is when I used to commute for 2 years between Klamath Falls and here. And when the congregation here was interviewing me for that, a lot of you were concerned whether I would be able to make it. And I never missed once being here because of the weather. And one time as I was, I don't know if I should say this with my wife and daughter listening, but as I was driving in these conditions here, I took this picture. And because I thought the trees were so beautiful and there's so much snow up there in the mountains, I just thought, I need to take a picture of this. And the car that was in front of me there, this lady was driving incredibly slow. So when I got the opportunity, I passed her. And she sped up and stayed on my tail. And I thought, what is this lady doing? Well, she was petrified. And she didn't want to be alone. So I slowed down. And she kept spinning out and I would stop and see if I could help or whatever. But anyways, we need to withstand the elements. That's what the trees do. They withstand practically anything that is thrown at them. In Acts 14 and verse 22, Paul went around to the churches reminding them of this truth. We must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. You know, we don't live in a greenhouse. We live in this world. It's rough. And we will encounter tribulations. Never stop giving. Look at that old tree stump. Somebody else has managed to find life. It is contributing life. Now think about what we do with the tree. You know, we can gather leaves, or at least I do, for soil nourishment in the garden. We can swing from its branches. We can eat its fruit. We can relax in its shade. We can build things, heat our homes, sit on a stump, and what remains will end up feeding the soil. Never stop giving. In Revelation 14, we're given one of the Beatitudes of Revelation with these words. Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors. And now watch this part. And their works follow them. Their works follow them, proclaiming what kind of people they were. Their works may even, in some cases, continue on the earth when they're gone, when they're dead, just like that tree. Watch out for diseases and little bugs. You know, they're small, leading us to believe they can't do any damage. They're slow, leading us to think that nothing is happening. And I always found it interesting that the tree, the same tree that endures heavy rains, snowstorms, sometimes even fire, lightning, wind, carvings, and other severe big actions can fall prey to little tiny things. Maybe this is why this is said in the Song of Solomon. Catch us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. Take heed, lest you fall. Brethren, I've told you before how long I've been preaching. I've been preaching 27 years. And I really do not believe that there are any exceptions to what I'm about to say, as far as I know. Or can remember. Every time any Christian has ever told me, I will never fall away, they did. It's almost as though we've told both God and Satan, nothing can happen to me to bring me down. And God wants us to know that we don't stand on our own. And Satan says, oh, you think you're better than me? I'm coming after you. So listen to this warning from 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall. You know, we might just be like that tree in the previous picture with the beaver eating at its trunk at the bottom. And pretty soon, we fall. We may have been big and tall and strong, but some little creature brings us down. There is beauty in age. The book of Proverbs says, the glory of young men is their strength, and the splendor of old men is their gray head. Ecclesiastes 12 mentions in a reference to the gray head when the almond tree blossoms. The almond tree has white flowers, and when it blossoms, the whole top is white. Just like a lot of us here, a lot of us are getting like that. Virginia Herndon is a bristlecone pine. They are the oldest living things on earth. They are bent and contorted, but they're beautiful. Have you ever seen the bristlecone pines in the Sierra Nevada in California? Wow, if you can ever see them in person, you'll realize pictures just do not do them justice. Oh, they're so beautiful. Elsie Parker is a palm tree. And I'll explain that later. The wisdom that flows from that man's lips are pleasant. I am always glad when Elsie is present at a men's meeting. In fact, the elders and preachers have consulted him numerous times. And there was even one time we took him out to lunch to ask his advice on a particular matter. We'll talk about the palm tree in a little bit. Seasons come and go. Therefore, we cannot judge things too quickly, nor give up rashly, because I just don't like the way it is right now. It may seem like winter one day, and suddenly it is spring. We cannot judge with our own eyes. This is what God Himself had to tell Samuel when he was at the house of Jesse looking for a new king. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance, that first son of Jesse, or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And then Jesus warned, do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. Be a palm tree in God's house and a cedar on His mountain. Listen to a passage that Caleb read for us earlier. The beautiful palm tree and the magnificent cedar of Lebanon. Can you see the people standing at the base of that tree? That's how massive and fantastic the cedars of Lebanon are. Psalm 92 again. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in Him. In December 2005, I preached a sermon, Liken All of God's Lichen. I don't know if any of you remember that. I talked about lichen, you know, the stuff that grows on rocks and trees and things, and just talked about lichen, and I made some spiritual lessons from that. Well, when Gloria Ann Duncan heard that message, she requested a sermon on trees. And I'm just now getting to it, Gloria Ann. It was this passage, Psalm 92, that first popped into my mind when she said that. I thought, oh, goody. I have been waiting to look at this passage for a long time and to show it to a congregation. The section of Psalm 92 that I just gave you is contrasted with what the poet said in verse 7. When the wicked spring up like grass, and when all the workers of iniquity flourish, it is that they may be destroyed forever. So, let us grow up like palm and cedar trees. They flourish longer than grass. They flourish bearing fruit so they can declare the truth of verse 15, that God is upright. And you listen to the older people and they'll tell you, without God, I never could have done it. The righteous are like the palm tree down at the coast, or like the cedar in the mountains, because they can improvise and adapt to their environment, having learned to do so by experience and the teaching of God's Word. Both the palm tree and the cedar tree are evergreens, the same throughout any season, regardless of the conditions of life. And so it is with the righteous. They are dependable and reliable. The palm lives in hot and humid places. The cedar grows in cooler places with rain, snow, and frost. But together, they thrive in all circumstances. And the righteous have learned that life is not about our outward circumstances, but it's about what is going on inside you. And so Paul wrote in Philippians 4, I believe this very truth. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. How did he do that? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The palm and cedar trees are productive even in old age. The coconut palm can be productive for 50 to 100 years, although it peaks out at 10 to 20. So that's why the older may still bear fruit, they can still do things, but maybe not quite like they did when they were younger. And of course, the cedar tree, we're talking about hundreds of years. In fact, its real usefulness may not come for hundreds of years when maybe it's used for lumber. Let us be like the tree planted by the rivers of water, and you shall learn everything you need to know. And how is that? Remember, in Psalm 1, and I need the lights on now, please, that David spoke about the man who meditates in God's Word day and night. And then he'll be like that tree that's by the rivers of water. He'll always be fruitful, always be prospering. Be a tree in the house of God, just like Psalm 92 spoke about. For then you'll be in the best soil. You'll be rooted in Christ, you'll be rooted in love, and you'll bear the fruit of the Spirit. Be rooted in Christ today and be placed in His house by being a faithful New Testament Christian. Can we help you along that journey? If so, please come forward right now as we stand and sing.